everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the CampCast. I am Jason Felgraber, owner and director of Camp Menominee. We've got a great show coming up for you. Before we get into it, wanted to talk about a few things coming up in the camp world. First of all, we will be out in San Francisco and Palo Alto next week. We have a reunion at Topgolf in San Jose on Wednesday, January 11th, and a get-together for new families on Thursday, the 12th. We're really excited for all of you that can make it out. Also, everyone in the Chicagoland area, we will be having our Chicago area reunion on February 25th. That's a Saturday. So please keep an eye out for more details on that. Okay. Today on the podcast, this was a great one. So we've had senior cabins from the 2012 and 2008, and now we have more my generation on the podcast. I have some of my best and closest friends on here. Josh Green, my brother Ross Felgraber, Danny Sider, Brian Bulgatz, and Steven Zucker. Brian and Steve are from my senior cabin and my age group, and we get into a lot of stuff. We jump right into camp grudges. We come out swinging. We get into who our camp influences are, our favorite and least favorite co-counselors, camp regrets, best camp moments, what are their legacy was. I say are. I jump in a little bit, but you guys know me pretty well at this point, so we let them talk a decent amount. And we do a new segment where I read random articles that they wrote in the megaphone and make them tell us about it. We ask them what they're jealous of that we currently do at camp, and those answers are interesting. Brian Bulgatz a few times just kind of does his own, here's what's going on in my head and here's what I've been thinking about, including at the end, he closes it out with reading some random notes from a journal that he kept when he was on staff his last year in 2008, which is really fun. We talk about our favorite campfire songs that Kaz used to play. And we don't spend a lot of time talking about Kaz on this one. He deserves his own time, his own podcast with people who really, really knew him. And will, if you want to know anything about the life of Kaz, Dennis Kozlowski, our former Waterfront director who passed away, please read everything that people are posting on Facebook. Read his obituary. He was a spectacular guy who lived an extraordinary and meaningful and impactful life. We close out the podcast talking about our worst competition jersey name that we put on. They ask me some questions at the end. And so, yeah, it's a long one, but it's great. Stick with it or come back for different segments. But I think you're really going to enjoy it. So, yeah, we'll get to it. Here is my conversation with Josh Green, Ross Felgraber, Danny Sider, Brian Bulgatz, and Steven Zucker. Are you guys ready for this? Okay. Here we are. We're back for another episode of the CampCast. We've so far done the senior cabin 2012. We've heard from senior cabin 2008, maybe 2009. And now we're working our way back up and we're getting to, we're kind of the older guys now, unfortunately. And you guys feel free to say things as I'm talking.
I don't think we have to call ourselves the older guys at this point.
Older?
Yeah, older, but not old.
We're not the old guys, but we're senior cabin 2002 and 2004 and 2003. We're all represented.
We're here. Yeah. It's a long time coming, Jace. We appreciate it.
Yeah. And we're going to bring it all back around, but I'll let you guys introduce yourselves. This is my generation, my people. So why don't we go around the room, tell the people who you are, how many years you went to camp, what year you were in the senior cabin, give us an intro.
All right, I'll kick it off, guys. really appreciate being here, Jason. Thank you. This is long overdue, so we're excited about this. Josh Green, I was at camp from 2000 to 2009, so 10 years. Was on staff for four of the rest as a camper in CIT. Senior cabin 04, along with Ross, who is sitting right next to me.
I'm Ross Felgraber. Honestly, I'm going to have to ask Josh when I started camp and when I stopped.
He started camp in 1999 and he went 11 years.
You definitely know how long you went to camp for.
I know I went 11 years. I wouldn't have been able to tell you like 90. If Josh didn't just say 2000, I would have been able to tell you 99 to like 08. Then I skipped a year and went by myself in 2011. And yeah. Danny.
Okay. Danny Sider. Let's see. 1997. Through 2006. It's a 10-year camper counselor. A lot of fantasy camps and post camps thrown in there along
were
the way.
We were in the same 10-year class.
Yes.
Right?
Because yeah, so 97, my first year was this also Bulgatz's, Jason, your first year.
Me.
Black and gray.
Yeah,
yes.
I did it.
2006. That was a special 10-year class.
Yeah. There were like 10
black and gray.
What's black and gray?
Our 5-year jacket.
Our hair?
No,
our five-year jackets are gray. Yeah,
you're gray with black.
That's
sleeves.
Right. I remember those jackets.
Did you say our hair? I'm the only one that's really gray. Maybe a little Danny.
I'm trying to make everyone welcome.
All right. So now that you're welcoming everyone.
Okay. I'm Brian Bulgatz, 12-year camper counselor. Started in '97. Same senior cabin as Jason and my good friend and in-law Steven Zucker.
Wait, are you including one of your years as the 2 weeks you worked for Jason?
Yeah, that counts.
Of course that counts.
He was in
just confirming.
Let's all talk over each other, but yes, that was part of the negotiation.
I think we're supposed to talk over each other, right? Isn't that what happens when six guys are trying to record this thing?
Yes.
Okay. I'm Steven Zucker, 8 years.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, thanks, Jason. Thanks for having us, says Josh.
Hey, if you could speak on behalf of Josh for the rest of the podcast.
He won't know half as much of Menominee random facts as I would, so I have to speak
Sorry,
up.
Carry on.
That's true.
You are in the 10-year club?
I am not in the 10-year club.
Oh, boy.
No. But, you know, if you count weeks, you know,
just introduce yourself.
He's asking me questions.
Sorry, carry on. I'm interrupting. You should. All right.
8 years, started in 2000, senior cabin with Jason and Brian. Which was 2002.
It was,
I believe. So, yeah.
Okay. Brian's the only one here that has worked for me in 2015. What cabin were you in, and who were you the counselor for?
Cabin 16. That was such a good cabin. Okay. Connor Wall,
yep.
Finfer, Remy.
Remy Doyle. Yeah.
One of three Doyles. Yes.
Two Doyles?
Yeah. O'Doyle rules.
Because O'Doyle rules.
Right.
But yeah.
Will Friedman, whose brother Jack won Intermediate Honor Camper this
See,
year.
That's not surprising.
Yeah.
Great you family. You did me the ultimate favor by letting me be with by far the best cabin in camp.
They were great kids. Well, you did me a favor by coming up and like stopping your job.
Favors galore.
Cabin counselor.
Great group of kids.
28 years old.
Yeah.
For a few weeks.
For those of those who don't know Brian this well, this did not surprise anybody who knew that he would go up there.
We needed guys. No one else. None of the rest of you came.
No, of course not.
What were you doing, Ross? Vet school or something? Talking to
Mike. I think so.
Okay. All right. So we're here. We're going to do this. We got a question. We got a lot to cover. We've already had dinner and gotten all the inappropriate stuff out of the way. So hopefully we'll keep it PG. Steve, I'm looking at you. Josh.
No promises.
Okay. Do you want me to just get into it? Do you guys want to take the reins on this, or should I just like...
Really do your best at trying giving this some structure, and then we'll...
So
take it from there.
On these alumni specific podcasts, like we go through a bunch of questions, try and get to know you guys, your time at Menominee. Like we've been asking a lot of the same questions to a lot of people. So we're just going to start getting into it and then we'll go from there. Do you want to start with Camp Grudge?
Wow.
Wait.
I think Danny should start with that if we're going to start with Camp Grudge.
I think we should reward the listeners now by let's just getting into it.
Getting into it early. All right. So let's do this. Let's cleanse the palate with just tell me what your favorite cabin is in camp. And then we'll jump into Camp Grudge.
I'll go first with Camp Grudge. And, you know, because it's okay now.
Okay, never mind.
Are you want to go into it? I thought you meant, like, answer that, then do Camp Grudge directly after.
Yeah, answer what your favorite cabin is, physical cabin.
Sure.
In camp.
13.
Great.
13. And or 16. No, it's 16.
Why is it 16? I think you're the only one who feels
you spend way. Enough summers in one cabin, it kind of forces you to fall in love with it.
I've never lived in that cabin.
Oh, underrated.
Is it?
It's a really good cabin. Not lump in 17 with 16. I can't speak for 17.
Okay.
16 is where it's at.
Feels like it gets hot and doesn't have any wind.
Sounds like you've never lived there.
I haven't. It's very steep.
So I was in 16 and 17 for post camp for a few years, and there were always bats there, and it freaked the hell out of my mom. Sorry, was that a swear?
A little bit.
Sorry. 16 and 17 are never the same for me after the bats, the bad experiences.
No one would have thought Danny would be the one to drop the swear in of all of us sitting here. I can promise you that.
That's a big story, post-camp story, the bats in the cabin. That almost got my mom not to take us to post-camp anymore.
And how many
which
years,
would have been a wait, very big deal.
How many years has your family done post-camp? 40?
A lot, yes.
All right, Ross, favorite cabin in camp.
Wait, you skipped me.
No, you. Oh, you were doing a thing. Sorry.
Okay, I'm gonna say cabin 9. That's our typical fantasy camp cabin. I was in there as a camper.
Is it because of the porch? Okay, the porch
was not always there. It used to just be a couple of steps down.
But
in the
crawl space.
Crawl space was always there. I just think it's well located. I just like cabin 9. I don't know. Maybe it's the fantasy camp stuff. Okay. It's really grown on me.
Yeah, I mean, think the pure cabin. It's 13, just because you get the.
That's the easy answer,
right? But
be the right answer.
But the problem with it is that it's just far from everything, and so if we're picking actual cabins,
the waterfront, or riflery, or cabin 12.
See, I would say 12 is an answer that people would say more often than 19.
I agree with Danny. I like either 8 or 9.
Josh cannot wait to
8 is good too.
Yeah. All right, here I am. Last but definitely not least. Certainly got to give a shout out to my guys a couple weeks ago who were on the pod. It is Danny, Robbie, Miz, love them all, but it's definitely not the senior cabin.
Right, let's just talk about how for multiple weeks in a row people consistently shout
and I appreciate
you
that very much, very much.
As like a major
so I will return the favor and shout them out. Love those guys, senior cabin. 08, but it's definitely not cabin 18. Probably from a nostalgia factor, I would say cabin 9. A lot of good memories there, of course, with fantasy. I was a CIT. I was a counselor there. I was a camper there. I've literally spent like almost a full year of my life, it seems like, in cabin 9. But I would agree with Steve. Cabin 13, it's just tough to beat cabin 13.
You and Ross were the first cabin to ever live in the senior cabin,
we
right?
were indeed. We were talking about that at dinner a little bit. The senior cabin before us, Danny's cabin, was up on cabin 19.
Top of Wass.
And we knew we had a very big age group. And that was Steve's big thing leading into summer of 2004 was he built that cabin in the woods. It was with 3 showers. And boy.
Still has it.
Still, yeah. Just to, this would be putting it mildly, I think you would agree, Ross, that the senior cabin, the second half of summer of 2004, just kind of hated us a little bit for feeling like we got the royal treatment over in cabin 18.
Well, if you're gonna tease the rivalry, then we're just gonna
jump
into
the
pillow
fight. Well, no,
it wasn't even that rivalry.
It wasn't that rivalry. In our second session, we had 2 senior cabins. Yeah. We had 18 and 19, not counting the rivalry with their age group.
Right, but they're with.
Oh no! Not talking about that. No, I'm talking about second session.
Second session. We had an entire group in 19.
The 8 weekers stood in cabin 18, and all the 4 weekers were put together on top of Wass, where Danny was the summer before.
Wait, so who was the top of Wass cabin? I don't remember that.
A bunch of guys we would name off that are probably not listening. So yeah.
You should name them off. Come on.
No, I mean there's Elman.
Elman was there.
There's Elman,
Jake Reagans, Stephen Klein. Belsky, Warsack, Doppelt, guys like that. We're all on top of Wass.
And it's all the guys who came for second session. Now, why were they all on top of Wass?
Because they were all 4 weekers.
They were all 4 weekers.
We couldn't fit them in 18.
So there was a big Kevin rivalry.
Is my memory correct that you guys weren't allowed to wear shoes in there?
Yeah,
We were very much allowed to wear shoes.
Oh, yes, because, and I'll tell you why I think of it this way, because on one of your skit nights, you all came up to the stage, took your shoes off, and then got on stage, because when he first built that cabin, there were, like, I thought that you guys weren't allowed to wear shoes in there for a little bit, so you had to take them off on the porch, and at, like, making fun of that, you guys took your shoes off before you got on stage. There's no way I'm making all this up.
I do have a
memory. There has to be some truth
there. You are onto something.
I have memories of shoes on the porch. There have definitely been
a time. That might not have been a Steve rule, though. That might have been a Hennick rule.
No.
That actually also might be true. If it's a cleanliness thing, Hennick probably was involved in this at some point.
We all put the shoes out on the front. It's coming back to me. Yep.
Okay. Well, if it comes all the way back to you, let me know. Okay. Let's get into the fun stuff, because Bulgats has a lot of camp grudges that he wants to dive into. So, and by the way, as we go through these, if you don't have one for any of these, feel free to, like, we can bounce around. If you have something great, jump in, but we're going to just dive into some fun categories. So, any camp grudges, irrational, unnecessary, almost like, yeah, just ridiculous camp grudges that you still might hold. Let's anyone can jump in.
You mean for us personally, or
yeah,
just
personally? Do you just let's go.
I have a very, let's call it, rational grudge.
Okay,
if we can start. Okay, Steve Konevsky, listen up. So in 2006, we had a great 10-year class. We almost had 10 for 10. We had 9 guys being inducted into the 10-year club. It was me, Jason Felgraber, Danny Sider, Mike Sweet, John Sider, Kobe Stern, Brett Greenspan, Scott Marcus, and Max Fried.
Good crew.
Great crew.
Great crew.
Now, this was the original supply chain shortage, but they ran out of green fabric, which was unfortunate because that used to be the 10-year shirt. And so Steve had a choice to make. Do I give half of the guys blue and half green, or just, you know, give everyone blue so, like, they can be one group? And not only did he give half of us blue, but I'm going to tell you the 4 guys that he gave blue to, and you let me know if it sounds biased.
Do you think we could guess?
I've never thought about who got what color.
Okay,
because I got green.
Because you got green.
Of course you got green.
Let me tell you who his least 4 favorite of the group are. In a very specific order.
Okay.
Me, Kobe, Danny Sider, and his now brother-in-law, Max Fried. Steve, thank you for the blue shirt.
If you redid that list again, do you think Fried would still be in the bottom 4?
I hope Max is listening to this.
That,
Max, I'll be
hope
so
you're
happy.
Doing well, Max.
That's a great one. You got any other ones that you want to? That was it.
They're all rational. Like, I would say, Deesh, Peter, and Teddy—they stuck around too long, and they ran the show for way too long. Like,
we didn't get a chance to do as much because of that. So
forget us. That age group. 2 years older than us, a year older than us. Like, we didn't get to be in charge of anything until 2008.
It's kind of true.
Yeah.
Well, weren't you in charge of softball in 2006?
I was the head of softball in 2006.
No, 2006, think about who was there in the senior cabin 2 years ahead of you.
This isn't about me. Huh?
Think of 2006. All of them were running. They were running camp 2006.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, yeah. Right,
he's
that
saying
was their
that
turn.
Should have been us.
Right, I'm saying. Whereas 2007, fair. You guys took charge of everything and, like, no one else was there.
We had a small crew.
06
was
our 30-year yep. staff, okay. And we just had a lot of returners.
Yep.
Buster checking
one more
in.
Camp grudge?
Yeah.
Speaking of the cabin that you hooked up me with, what's his first name? But last name is Sagerman?
Adam.
Yeah, so least favorite co-counselor.
Like, oh, we're just getting into that.
I don't know what this kid was bummed out about. He had me as a co, already off to a great start. Great group of kids, and just, I don't know, he never got into it. And it was kind of up to him to not have a good summer.
Okay. All right.
All right. Least favorite co-counselor.
No. Anyone have camp grudges that they want to toss out there? Anyone do any prep for this? Josh?
Oh, I had no prep, but I don't want to. Now, he's such a good, nice guy now, but having said that, Joe Klein and me did not get along for a very long stretch of time. Well, yeah. So we were co-counselors when I was at JC, and I was not the most mature JC, I guess I'll put out there. And I guess Joe just,
but
Joe just was always just,
I think you
had it
had,
out for me.
You had a bad rap, but no one could say why.
I feel like some people could say why.
Maybe. I don't know.
No, I feel that. But, you know, that's something like when you're kids, and I'm sure some people can relate to that, you know, when you're 12, 13, and you get reputation, yeah. especially at a camp, and it just carries over as you get older. But not that that really negatively impacted anything for me, but, like, Joe and me just didn't get along. He was really busy. He was running softball. He was building the wall behind
the backstop,
yeah. the beautiful backstop. Now, that's it didn't exist before. Joe Klein, shout out to Joe for that, because he did that by himself every rest period. Literally every rest period, he was building that brick by brick. So
by himself, Zach Dan didn't do anything.
No, Zach Dan was just sitting there watching and eating popcorn and just taunting him. But no, he did a great job. No, that's not true. I'm not. That's not true. Anyways, so me and Joe just didn't get along, and then it carried over for a couple of years. And let's say some softball teams I didn't make that Joe was in charge of picking. But now we're good. Every time I see him, I love to see him. He's a great guy, one of the nicest guys in the world. And yeah, nothing but love for Joe now. But we definitely had a grudge back in the day.
Okay. You guys?
Josh, there's a grudge behind those eyes.
Yeah, go ahead, Josh. I mean, my only one is probably, which, I mean, I probably have more than this, but none that I'm going to really get into. But my only real one is for like a half a second, whoever, my coach of 16A, keeping Wolin on third, which was... Was it Peter or Joe? Which one of them did
it? It was Joe. So I guess this is a great piggyback off of what Steve was just saying.
In our 16A game, we were
of course that was
down.
That
we were tied and then or tied or down one.
So poor Joe's getting thrown under the bus here. Okay,
Ryan Wolin hits a rocket and with zero outs, and we kept him at third, and then we lost the game. But that's the only one. But that was probably because that was just a bad day overall.
I would have held him at third.
You guys also.
I'm gonna stick up for Joe there.
Zero outs.
Yeah, zero outs. That's just good softball.
Okay, what about yours? You got any?
We'll move on to the next question.
Okay. All right. Let's go positive. All right. Let's talk about who our biggest influences were when we were like, who were our guys? Because a lot of the people that we've had on have named all of us and you guys as people who have influenced them, shaped their camp career, and like helped like shape their lives. So who are our people? Who are your people?
I think a lot of crossover for both groups here, sure. Specifically talking with Josh and Ross and me and Brian and Jason is Sean Hennick.
Yeah.
At least for me personally. So I'm from California. So not a part of the Chicago crew here. And Sean's from California. And so when my first summer at camp, Sean was my first counselor. And he really kind of helped take me under his wing a little bit, at least protect me a little bit, being new and not knowing anyone. And, you know, then he became our senior cabin counselor. And he was just a really big influence.
He was the coolest senior cabin counselor.
He was just the coolest counselor. I mean, when you think of, like, a cool counselor when you're a kid thinking of, like, older, cool, like, Sean Hennick is one of those guys.
He was also the first guy that, like, I can remember in my life to, like, kind of make nerd culture cool, like the Star Wars culture, like
Lord of the Rings.
He was
wasn't
like a cool guy, but he also like made all that stuff. Like,
yeah, he really embraced Lord Star of the Wars. Rings. Lord of the Rings, Star Wars. We saw Star Wars during our
Whitewater After.
Yeah. And Sean was the one who spearheaded that
it
whole
made
thing.
Us all fall
but
in
at the same
Natalie
time, right? That's true. Which still true to this day.
Fact.
But also at the same time, Sean Hennick's also the guy getting FaceTimed or phone calls from Richard Jefferson on draft night.
Right, and like at Andre.
Yeah, like he knows these guys personally.
Right. Yeah. Okay, Bulgats.
The year after we had Sean Hennick our senior cabin year, we had Jeff Toombs our CIT year. Mm-hmm. Just to keep it short, he was, I felt like, the first guy who was just as excited to be in the cabin with us as we were with him. And for an age group where we had a lot of, let's just say, eccentrics, that didn't happen that often. So that was very cool. And Toombs.
That's really true.
Yeah. And I would say just aside from Toombs, guys that I've looked up to, Andrew Blackman and probably Taylor Beausignor are two guys who really great judgment of character.
Because of the thing they did with the bananas?
No, I know that was me. I'm just saying.
I know there was
two guys. Andrew, let's see. I would give him heart and determination. Taylor, spirit and soul.
You've always been really loose with the arrows.
Well, guess what? They get both.
But that's a good point. Our age group was not like. No one looked at the cabin list and was like, "Oh yes, we've got these guys." That's true. You're right. Jeff was like asked to be with us, and that was a huge part of our, like, that year was big for us. What about you, Danny?
Okay, so this is camp influences, right?
Yeah.
Who
helped you be the counselor that you became?
Okay, so this is, I'm going to maybe take this a little, like, in a little more serious direction, but for me, camp was, family was huge to me. I mean, my dad, my uncles, cousins, Menominee was a family affair other than just the best place to go in the summer. It was more than just that for us. John Sider, my guy, that was my huge camp influence. He was my big brother. I don't have a big brother. He was my big brother. My first year at camp, I was a huge slob. I mean, I was 9 years old. What did I know? But I was
that can't possibly be true.
Well, see, this is where
I do not believe
okay.
This is why this is
a good story for this is that John came into the cabin my first year at camp, cabin 3, and was just like, you know, unacceptable. Get it together. This is what you have to do. And he helped me put everything up on my shelves and teach me the ways of folding and whatnot, and then from there on out, it had a bigger impact than just camp, dare I say. But John was a huge impact, and then Matt Schwartz, family friend before Menominee, but Matt and John, friends, cabin mates, the whole deal. The senior cabin when I was my first year at camp was Peter Ehrlich, David Schwartz. I know they're not in the same cabin, but Barry Schwartz, Teddy Roth, that whole age group. I remember watching the 16A game when I was 9 and just being in complete awe of those guys. And it's never really left me. I always look at those guys the way I always did when I was 9 years old. So they have had a big part of my Menominee experience also.
Ted Roth was a huge one for me growing up.
In what way?
His positivity and energy. And, like, he was always my favorite guy to play for. Like,
He was yeah. one of the most
one of the
fun
classic larger than life
sure.
camp characters.
Yeah. He was my favorite guy to play for because he took it seriously but made it really fun. And was like just a super enjoyable guy.
Yeah, awesome. I put Teddy Roth high up there too. I mean, just from towards the end of his probably senior cabin or CIT and then counselor the entire time I was there. And I mean, he from a softball standpoint, I got put out to left field really early to follow because that's where Jason played, and I kind of emulated Teddy and Jason and like
What's
and John.
Funny is I never got to play left field right. in any meaningful game. Every fantasy camp we've done, I'm in center right. In 16, well, I played right field. Right.
Well, Sonny Serrano was there.
Yeah, so, and then
you know he had to play.
Well,
left.
2003. We're not. Let's just not talk about it.
Yeah. No. I mean, the groups that I think about certainly are similar. I mean, when I was really young. The older guys were Teddy and John and Matt, and they brought what I learned about camp. Like, that's what I saw. Those were the older guys. Those were what I'm looking at. But I mean, more for me though, was your guys' group. I know they talk about you guys talk about how everyone looks at your group and maybe says that they didn't want to be your counselor or whatever it was, or you maybe weren't the most athletic. But Bolgatz, Jason, Zucker, Josh Goldman, like I spent a lot of time with you guys. Being your brother and being around, and that shaped my camp experience. I mean, I didn't really have a choice where I was going to camp, not that I was going to go anywhere else, but it was always you guys looking out for me when things were going. And it was great that as we got older, the age didn't matter and we got closer differently. But those are probably the two groups beyond that. And then Hennick, too. I mean, he was our counselor twice or three times.
Yeah, I'll dive in. We had Sean twice. We actually had him back-to-back years, which was pretty unique. We had him in 03 in cabin 13, then we had him in the senior cabin 2004. Obviously, I probably sound like a broken record here. He's been mentioned. He deserves all the credit. Tick, Teddy Roth, just a great, great guy we all looked up to. Of course, Ross, we also had Peter as a counselor in 2002.
Peter was also my first. My
yeah, you had him
in 99
the year before I came.
He was 100%. One, you know, I would add, he was.
Yeah, and it's amazing. It's amazing to think of the brotherhood of camp. Obviously, to have Peter, you know, and Teddy as your counselors, and now, whether it be through Nate Wass or Teddy lives nearby, we've got kids the same age. I mean, I talk to these guys on a weekly basis, so it's kind of pretty wild to think about that, and obviously very cool that I have some campers and. You know, younger guys that have come to fantasy now that are 25, 26 years old that we still talk to as well. So you think about those age difference is between 26 and 42, but when you go up there for fantasy weekend, it's kind of like we're all together. So it's pretty unique, and I think right now kind of our group and our crew is kind of like right in the middle of kind of those two demographics, which is pretty cool because I kind of like it, and we got some younger guys, we got some old guys as well that we really look up to. So it's pretty cool.
Let's quickly do favorite co-counselor of all time, and shout out any international counselors that you had that you connected with. And Bulgets, I feel like you always connected with the internationals, like when you were a kid.
Yeah, I don't have a good reason for that. Maybe started with Andrew Bryan from Australia.
Bryan. Yeah.
I don't know. Favorite co-counselor would have to be Mike Sweet. I was a JC. He was my co. Showed me what it meant to walk that fine line between having fun and also being responsible. So, yeah, there's nice. That. And good, I would say for the internationals who are probably listening, Mitch King, Richard Pillinger, Joe Sherry. What's up, guys?
Joe Sherry, that's your guy.
That's my guy. 2006, he was a great co-counselor. Great story. Was invited to his wedding over the summer. Wasn't able to make it, of course. It was a couple weeks before my second kid, but I wrote a speech and sent it to his brother. And here's the power of camp. I said in my speech, I said, you can't pick two guys more different than Joe and I in 2006. I was the guy that had been lucky enough to go to camp for 7 years. He was the guy first time in out of the UK who had come to America, wasn't into sports. I was into sports. It was just completely different personalities, but you just mesh because he bought into kind of what it is that we stood for at camp and obviously loved the camaraderie. And, you know, here we go till this day. I mean, that's 17 years ago. I mean, it's hard to believe, but you're still in contact with some of those people from some amazing summer. So it's pretty cool.
Does Jeff Toombs count as an international?
He's got to.
Yeah.
I'm going to say he does.
He wears that with like pride for sure.
Are you counting Joe Sherry on the kind of crossover as your favorite co and?
Is Joe Sherry your favorite co-counsel?
Yeah, I would say probably my favorite co. Are we going to talk about least favorite co's?
Of course.
Are we?
Are we going to go right into that? Or are you going
to
let everyone
we have
get
to
out
spice
their favorites
this podcast
first?
Up a little
we
bit.
Yeah, we do have to spice it up a little bit. Wait, before you dive into it, anyone want to throw out your favorites?
Yeah, I got a couple that I want to throw out. Dan Dumps.
Dan Nichols.
He has a last name, buddy.
I like to call him Dan Dumps.
Why is he Dan Dumps?
So during pre-camp every year, for those who don't know, one of the exercises we do to help bond us as counselors, we play the name game. It's the thing in the first night so everyone can learn each other's names. And you
By
say
way,
your
we
first...
We don't do the name game anymore.
What?
It's been a while. It's been a while since we have done the name
game. Okay, well, we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Anyways, so we did this great game called the name game. And so you say your first name and then a fact about yourself. That starts with the same initial as that. So I'm Steve and I like softball. And that's what Konevsky would say every year.
What did you used to say?
I don't know, actually. I think I would do something random
What's
every year.
What's your best name, game? What's your best name? Bakeds?
Bakeds or banana bread?
Danger.
That's great.
Honestly, don't remember.
I was always Jello.
Jello?
Yeah.
You guys made me say justice 1 year.
I do remember,
okay. I remember that.
And I stand by it. That's a good one.
There's not a lot of good J's. All right.
So,
keep going.
Anyways,
sorry.
Dan went, my name is Dan and I like dumps. And that's the whole story. And he was Dan Dumps forever. Yeah. And he was a phenomenal
Just like
cut.
Brad Babes, the name
Just
was sick.
A stud Napkin from top Nick. To bottom. And then I do want to shout out Scott Marcus, who was my co. And he was just the most fun. He brought the most fun to the cabin I've had of any co. He just was always on. He was always making the kids have a good time, no matter what the experience was. He was always positive with me as a co. He taught me a lot of stuff. I was a freshman in college at the time. I looked up to him. Speaking of guys we looked up to, he was just a larger-than-life figure at camp, and he was a really phenomenal co. And yeah, so shout out to Scott. He was a phenomenal Absolutely. Guy.
Ross?
The funny part is I think my favorite co is also my least favorite co, which is Mitch King.
I'm sorry, Mitch. Real quick, shout out to Mitch King, who is also my co. Mitch. And he was also my favorite international by far.
Right. He's literally
he's definitely
my favorite, my at least the international that I keep in touch with the most. And
hey, where's Mitch from?
Australia.
Okay, and he flew in for your wedding.
Flew in for my wedding.
And
to be fair,
his least favorite co.
But he can tell you that, that he probably deserved it. Like, he was the worst counselor of all time at the time. I think he was probably, it was maybe my JC year.
He was
17.
He was 18 years old. Yeah. It was one
he
of
was
the-
18 years old. He just got, it was his first time in the States. He was on at the waterfront most of the year, and he just never did anything with the kids in our cabin. But, like, over the over time, he just kept, he kept coming back. We stayed in touch. He... The year that I was there in 2011 and where none of my camp guys were there, it was, and I was one of the older guys, it was me and then everyone older than me were it's the international staff. It was Mitch King and Brendan and Pillinger and a group of guys that I then got to hang out with that whole summer. And Mitch was really the guy that I was the closest with, and he would kind of take me with him to go with them. And just he's awesome. I mean, he turned into a huge camp guy, and it was it's one of the really cool experiences of camp where you get guys coming from all over and you make that everlasting kind of friendship and impression where he'll come to your wedding from Australia and we'll go to his from the US.
Like, all of our wives love Mitch.
Everyone
like,
loves
Mitch. Right. Mitch, like, Mitch is a part right. of like Mitch is a part of our lives, and yeah, shout out to Mitch.
Okay, you guys wait, do you have
Mike Sweet.
Two Mike Sweet
shout outs. Echo Bulgatz, yeah. Cabin 12.
So four 2004. Mike Sweet, because I was too. Yeah.
Nate Glesny was great. Wasn't around very often, but I mean, he was in the office. Had a administrative, higher role. He had to be in the office. He wasn't in the cabin as much, but he was a great guy. 2003, cabin 6.
All right. Now you guys can do least favorite if you want.
This is tough. We're not here, you know, on a Saturday night in the middle of winter to throw people under the bus.
David Ehrlich.
But maybe,
he would do is he took advantage of my enthusiasm for camp, and he was the only counselor who respected a real rest period. And no matter how much, let's just call it work, had to be done, he always prioritized his nap. Yeah, he's walking that fine line between being my favorite and probably my least favorite.
Well, Steve created a rule for him. Like, he created the David Ehrlich rule that said only one counselor can be asleep in the cabin during rest period.
He took full advantage.
That's really funny.
Least favorite co. This is tough.
You don't have to answer.
Yeah, mine's much easier, and I'm gonna go against the grain here and say Mike Sweet.
Wow.
And Here's the thing about Mike. Mike's a great guy, super nice guy, but he was never around. He was running camp.
That's fair.
Same with your Nate Glesny house. And I was 19, and we had 14-year-olds. This is Schlafrock and Eli. Shout out to you guys.
Was that first session?
No, this is I was the replacement. So I was co's with John and Todd Gustafson, and then Wally, who...
Left
in the middle of the night. I replaced him, and so I jumped into cabin 13 with 14-year-olds. And just Mike was just never around. He was running camp.
Steve, Mike over. Wasn't I your CIT when you had with? Was I your CIT when you had Miz and Munzer and Sonny? Was your?
That wasn't me.
That wasn't you. Okay.
No, but I did have all those guys. But I never was Sonny's co.
Do you have one?
Least favorite co. I mean. Again, I apologize if he's listening over in Mexico City, but I had Javier Cervantes Delgado as my co. It didn't go that well. I was also an AD that summer, so I'll be the first to admit I took things a little too seriously. But yeah, he was tough. He was a JC, and oftentimes we kind of find being a JC just difficult because, of course, you grow up at camp as a camper. You know, now you're getting paid to be a camp. It's tricky. Some people are able to do a little bit better job than others, but he was kind of like another camper that summer, but it's okay. He still came back all those years. He traveled further than a lot of people, and hats off to him for doing that.
I don't think you need to qualify it. I think it's okay to be a little camper.
But yes, as a JC, he was brutal.
There's very few JCs that are like really good. Like, you learn. It's hard to be a
correct.
Counselor. All right, let's keep going. Do you guys have camp regrets? Anyone?
So I was thinking about this one a little bit.
Okay.
No big camp regrets. What if I pivot to camp like what if I pivot to like to camp what ifs? You know, like you always kind of wonder.
Sliding doors. Yeah.
That's under the same umbrella. Okay. I'll allow it.
Ross might remember this. So Ross and I have late birthdays. So when we were 14, we were playing with the 13-year-olds essentially.
Yeah.
And So we were in cabin 13 with Hennick and Jola Sekla that summer. And I'd been at camp for a couple years. I just started to go 8 weeks. Was by no means a big kid, so I was kind of happy that I was playing 12-inch softball as opposed to 16. And was starting to become a decent pitcher, was doing okay. And then I got really sick that summer. And my parents had to come out for like a week, and I missed all the tryouts for like, you know, for Cahuaga and everything. And then leading up to it, they had like the A and B team all ready to go. And I probably could have played either 13A softball, 13B softball. One of the teams pitched, done well. But they kind of just, they wanted to make room for me because I missed all the tryouts. They felt bad. I was a sick kid. You know, it is what it is. So I moved into C. So I moved into 13C when I was 14. I pitched a three-hitter. Okay. Remember that to this day. And like, I always wondered like, wow, what if I was able to try out, you know, maybe I would have played like 13B, maybe I would have played 13A with Ross, moved to second base or something. Cause we were like two of the three of the older kids from 14 who were playing with the 13-year-olds there. So we kind of had that unique summer.
Okay. That's a good one. Anyone have anything they want to, Ross, Bulgats, Danny, Sucker?
We talking regrets?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's pivot back.
Pivot back. That's okay.
You know, honestly, I don't really have any regrets because camp didn't really set me up for many situations to feel regretful. I felt like all, like, I don't, what's a qualifier for regrets? Give me an example.
I regret that they moved you from pitcher to first base in 2003.
Oh, okay. Never mind. We want to go back to grudges.
I feel like
then.
That's a grudge. Because
if we want to talk Peter Ehrlich, who's been raised on the pedestal a bit.
I regret taking off the summer of 2007. Like the Dunleavy
year. Yeah, me
year.
Too. Me too.
But yeah, what do you got for this?
Yeah, so I'm on a 360 pivot back. I had a great song night theme that like song night never came back around so that I couldn't use it, but it was going to be called Uptown Durl. And now we haven't hashed out the lyrics yet, but it's a winner on the face
Should
of it.
Should we just like make it up right now?
No, I'll come up to visit and I'll give it to one of your kids and they'll use it. But
in cabin 16.
It writes itself. And for that reason, that's my biggest camp regret.
17. So like that? Okay.
That's exactly my biggest camp regret.
The number one biggest?
Uptown Durl.
Wow.
Okay.
Do you get a lot of answers for that question?
Yeah, like...
I feel Uptown like I can't Pearl? Think of a good example.
Yeah, I mean, I have like... It's not as much a regret as I just wish I could take a whole day back. But like, I don't know if that's considered a regret. Where my whole last like Cahuaga competition, if I can go through,
it wasn't a great day.
It was the worst day. We won, but it was for the camp. It was great. It was a bad day for me. But like, I regret that Stephen Klein left my senior Twilight League year when I was captain to go punt for Stevenson.
That's more of a regret.
Like that's.
I regret you beating me senior cabin year Twilight League championship.
I have a grudge.
See, these are all grudges. These are regrets. I feel like Brian's is the only actual regret.
I didn't do this enough, or I didn't go out to try out for this thing, or I should have like made a more effort doing this.
I wish I did more water
This is
sports.
Not that group that's going to do it.
I agree.
I got a real one. I do wish... But, like, I don't regret because there wasn't anything I would have traded for, but I do wish I would have taken advantage more of the fact that we were on a lake. Like, we like going in the lake. We celebrate in the lake. We do fun things there. But, like, going water skiing and really trying to learn, things like that, that would have been cool.
Would have been nice to learn how to sail.
Okay. Yeah,
same thing, too.
Yeah, I regret I didn't ever do a regatta.
You got a regatta. Yeah.
I've got a great regatta story.
Do you Anyone have wants a regret?
To. I would like to hear Danny's regatta story.
I would sit down for Danny's regatta story.
Yeah. Danny regrets not continuing to come back to camp and be on staff with us.
Is that what it is?
That's fair. Missing the summer of a
I mean, yeah, I you guys rattle off all these stories after 2006, and I...
Well, 2008 was a great year.
Right, there you go. Wasn't there. So, yeah.
Do you have a regret or grudge story that you wanted to...
No, I mean, grudge... Junior Twilight League, my team was in first place. We were rolling and then got blown up by a trade and ended up finishing
last
place.
You know who was
place.
Part of that trade? This guy.
Yeah.
Wait, that's
my,
more,
my team
that's
got completely blown up.
From Ben Chelvey's team to Jake's Rockin' Rattlesnakes.
Oh, no. That was a different
year.
That was 1997 because I was on Jake's Rockin' Rattlesnakes when
we won
the championship.
Yeah.
And then the next year when I was a junior, it was me, Andrew Bauer, Judah Klein, and I think Brett Greenspan.
Fair.
Or maybe Max, I think Max Jacobson. We were the four captains, and my team was rolling. Noah Feldman, he got traded midseason, big hurt, big time. Me and Chris Trindle were anchoring the team. We lost Noah Feldman and ended up just finishing terribly. And I mean, if we can talk about this, the Kleins Junior Twilight League, they won every Junior Twilight League, got every trade their way.
Is that true? Is that conspiracy?
100%. Jay Klein got a great trade.
Was that after Konevsky on the camp? Or
98 was Konevsky's first year. 97 was still Glenn's.
Can we also acknowledge that Senior Twilight League, when you were a captain,
yes,
Bulgatz was on your team.
He got traded.
Oh, that's a grudge!
And then I got put on your team.
And then we lost our pitcher, Scott Bakalar, broke his finger or something.
We ran off a bunch of wins in a row, and then we lost to Ross and Zucker.
Yeah, it's because we lost our pitch. Scott Bakalar broke his finger or something, couldn't pitch.
You weren't beating Jaffe's team anyways.
And we lost, but Bulgatz, you did get traded for Jason. So are you trying to say that made up for the Junior Twilight trade?
I think that Barry Schwartz could have done a better job of like not making it so obvious who he's trying to upgrade and who he's trying to downgrade.
Okay,
if we're going to talk about something like that, which Josh can probably talk more of, but they literally stacked Josh's team just to get Teddy on the trophy.
We talked about this last.
Yeah, but we did.
Okay, that's fine.
My take is I support that for the record.
That's
okay. I'm just making a point.
We talked about this last podcast. This is a time-honored camp tradition of stacking doing whatever you can to get a legacy person.
Totally
on
fine.
The trophy.
Two things.
Two more examples of that.
Steve,
him,
you'll go
Teddy
set.
Roth, and there's more.
Okay,
right?
Two things I want to say real quick.
He's got this.
When we won in 2008 with Danny's team, we weren't actually the best team. Okay,
we lost.
We won in the
when
championship.
You say we.
Yeah.
You were the like.
I was the.
You were the GM.
To Danny's team, he was the captain, and Robbie's team was absolutely stacked. It was a great championship game. We were down 1-0 in the series. We rattled off the next two. So yes, I was given a favorable team to get on, but we weren't the best team. Teddy's team, I remember, was absolutely stacked. But that's besides the point. But also something I want to think of here, as we talk about that 2002 year of Senior Twilight League. Okay. When Danny and all of those guys were given, I want to ask you, Jason.
Well, we didn't have a lot of people.
Correct. But do you hold a grudge that Danny then got to be a Twilight League captain as a 14-year-old and then a Green Away captain?
Okay, no,
why couldn't you just be
a
Twilight League
really
and a Green Away that summer? You had been going your whole life.
I've never thought about this till right now.
It's very fair.
What we do now is if it doubles up, like I'll give a Green and White captain also a Twilight League captainship. And we didn't
That's
get
what I'm
that.
Saying. That's what I'm saying. Why did Danny get to have it?
I don't think it bothered anyone in the moment.
No,
okay. Looking back on it,
I didn't care in the moment.
It helps that we like Danny.
Also,
right.
I care now that we've addressed
correct.
It.
You would have liked to be a Twilight senior captain.
But I haven't thought about that for 20 years.
See, when you're talking about your team and getting to be a GM,
yeah,
and you're stacked and your team being stacked, and you're like, I feel like you're taking the wrong angle for that. Like the fact that someone decided to stack a team for you puts you at legendary status.
I appreciate that.
Like that's the angle to look at this from. People are looking at you like we gotta get Josh on the
trophy.
Yes, I
agree with that. But the people who are the GMs and are getting stacked for, they're the ones stacking the teams. They're the ones making the decisions on who the teams are.
As a senior Twilight League commissioner, I can tell you that that's not the case.
Hold on. Real quick. Yeah, let's clarify for all the people out there. The teams are made, and then Josh chose the team that he wanted to be
correct.
The,
shout out
the
to Dan
Schlesky,
who's my boy for
life,
like, so I wanted to be
his GM. It wasn't
like
a team was stacked in your favor. You just actually like, coached up a team.
Correct.
He got first choice.
But let's also recognize it's because he never won and wasn't on the trophy.
Correct.
Right, because he got robbed in 2002. Everybody knows this.
Here's what it was. Because I remember, you have to have a full enough staff to have the former campers be enough umps.
Right,
because
you should have been an ump.
I should have been an ump. Of course, I admit it. But there were like one or two extra ones, and then Steve, as the senior Twilight,
it's good, you finally admit
commish,
that.
Goes up to Konevsky and says, "Okay, we've got one or two guys that we can make a GM." And I think I was very lucky and fortunate enough that I got to be one. And then I looked at the list and I said, I want to be with Slutsky. And we were the second best team that year, but we won the championship.
Slutsky's story about you coming up to him on the first day of camp and being
legendary,
like,
legendary story. I listened to it. It was so true.
We're going
to
win this.
Yeah, I was fired up.
You got something?
For the sake of the one listener who's currently listening, I don't think Brett Weiss cares about any of this, so let's keep moving.
Brad.
Amy Blackman is for sure still listening.
She can I give a shout-out? While we're talking about the Weiss thing, I got to give a shout-out to Ethan and Jonah. And Ethan's podcast as well, if you haven't listened. Great sport podcast.
True. Sporting Intelligence.
It's incredible, yeah.
Shout-out
to them, so yeah.
Okay. Anyone have anything else before we move on to the next thing?
I regret not being a green and white captain.
But that's not up to you, buddy.
I guess you could have. It was.
I went 6 weeks that year.
You were playing basketball. So
I went six
that,
weeks
yeah.
that year instead of eight.
I have an actual regret, the real one. I regret that I started when I was 13. And that's only because coming from California, I didn't even know this type of camping experience existed. And so the story of how I found camp in the first place is.
But by the time we were CITs, you had participated in more first sessions than Brian.
That's fair, too. I always went 8 weeks from the start, but I did start at 13, so I regret not experiencing enough to be a green and white captain. Or, you know, when we were CITs, there were 9 of us who were CITs, and 8 of them went to 5-year night.
Fair.
Right.
Taking more of a serious tone, which might be maybe a nice thing to say to campers now or anyone out there who's going to be going to camp, but I think when I was older, I regret caring too much about being on A, B, C, D.
Of course.
That was, looking back on it, so not important. And I didn't play on 16A softball, which is a huge deal. You know, that when you're a camper, I mean, that's it. You want to be on 16A softball. Never played on 16A softball. Played on 16C. Played on 16B a couple of times. That always bothered me at camp. Even when I was, 13, I'll skip that part, but not playing on 16A, so not important. The most important thing looking back on it, and I would give anything to go back and play any game with any of my friends and any of those competitions. I don't 100%. Care what team it is.
And also, I'm sure you won your 16B game, and that counts for one.
And the older guys always told you, look, it's the same. That event counts the same as 16A. It's the same 1 point. And they're right. And, of course, that doesn't do anything for you when you're 14 years old or you're 15 years old and you're sulking because you didn't make 16A. But it is so not important. And if you are going to camp, you're approaching that age or those A, B, C designations mean anything to you, forget about it. Just it's the competing, the being with your guys. That's what's important. Take that game seriously. Don't care about the letters because it ultimately means nothing in the long run.
You know what? That's 100% true. And the funny thing now is you are arguably the best softball player at fantasy camp every year.
It doesn't even matter. I wish I would have been more just, I would have embraced what the team that I was on instead of, even if I wasn't outwardly upset about it, I was disappointed and it took away from a little bit of the experience for me. And I wish I would have I would have done that differently.
It's a really nice sentiment that makes up for all the stuff you said
earlier. I'm sorry about that. Yes. But I wanted to say that. I thought about that one going into the podcast. I wanted to say
I have two more to do and then we'll get into like the fun, ridiculous stuff. But I want to do you guys have a best camp moment for yourselves? Like a number one moment as a camper, as a counselor, like it could literally be helping a kid doing something or a game you won or something like that. Like, do you have a moment that you look back on that is like,
sure,
that's my moment?
Okay.
Go for it.
Of course, it was mentioned by the guys. 2009, Jason, coaching that team with you was incredibly special. I know what happened this past summer on BBSD was once in a lifetime for those boys, and I couldn't be happier that they got to witness it. But the true greatest game I ever played on that diamond was in 2009 when it went to 13 innings.
This is a controversial.
It was so spectacular being part of that game and coaching first. I know you coached third. It was truly, it's a game that I just replay over and over. It was just an incredible game.
I love that moment. I think about it a lot, and we will always have that with those guys. Yeah. But there's no way we could say that.
Of course not. Maybe it's so hard because that didn't decide the competition, but it's a top 2 or 3 game that's ever been played on that diamond. And for those kids to say that, I mean, that's pretty cool and unique.
Dads and ads have some pretty good
games. Yeah, we've had some great
games
in there as well and a lot of good fantasy, you know, championships. But, and then of course our 08 softball game, we won that one under the lights. That was special. Not because we won like in such a counselor game, because we won in such a, we won in a strong fashion. We won by, I think, 6 runs, but that was fun because being a counselor, as you talk about, like, you're 2, 3, 4 years apart from guys, but like when you're on staff, like the brotherhood, you can't beat it. And like when you're all, then you get to play with guys that were always like seniors when you were intermediates, and it was pretty cool that, you know, we all got to kind of play together that night. Because think about it, when Ross and I were 14 and you guys were 16, Ross and I, as I said earlier, we were playing with 13-year-olds. So, like, it was cool that we all got to kind of play together that one night, and definitely a memorable moment.
Yeah, there's, I mean, there's a lot of cool, like, camper things that I remember. I mean, like, my first year, Peter took us out for our sneak out and lined us up on OCR and, like, just left us there for a while and things like that. But it's, it, honestly, there's just like little things that come up. And one of the things, I don't even know if we won all the counselor games, but being under the lights in front of an entire camp for counselor basketball, I've played in a lot of sporting events and away games and home games or whatever it is. That is still, every time you walk out there at night with the 14 and ups on both sides of the camp and just screaming in the noise, it's one of the coolest experiences for me that I've been a part of, and camp allowed it. And I think that's something that I always remember. And there's a picture that came around in some of the groups of us when we were really young and we won one of them. It was John Sider, Jaffe, Danny, me, you.
I think that team was 06.
Yeah, it was just, those are cool. Those are cool moments for sure.
No, the counselor games are great. 06 softball game against Cahuaga. That team was awesome. Clem was on that team. It was a great team.
Shout out Clem Upmore.
Yeah, great awesome guy. Awesome guy. When I was a camper, CIT, hockey game, 16 under hockey against Cahuaga with the whole camp watching at Menominee. Ben Thompson.
Very cool. Yeah. Oh.
Shut out.
Very cool moment.
Stood on his head. And he's a legit goalie, but great game. Josh Weinstein, Grady Chambers. Who are my other hockey players on that? My other guys. I'm blanking right now, but Ben Thompson in goal. Phenomenal game. Whole team watching. Jeff Toombs coaching. Intensity level through the roof. Great memory.
Nice. Bulgats?
I'm not sure if I have one. I think any day camp where you start your day with a...
Say it. What are you going to say?
Fresco but Folgers. That perfect blend of chicory and coffee.
Does it get you going in the morning?
It gets you going in the morning.
Best camp moment? Do you have one? Or do we want to move on to the next thing and then we'll just... go off the rails.
You know, I had a couple before Brian won. All right, I'm going to rattle through.
You could do this.
There's a couple, like, it's really hard to narrow this one down because memories, you're just basically saying, like, what are your favorite memories? What are your favorite moments? And, you know, from a personal standpoint, we played 16A against Ojibwa when I was 15. And it was a great team. You were on the team, Jason. And, you know, we had lost every single senior event against Ojibwa. We were getting swept except for that game, and everyone who was there was watching. Jason Kipnis,
yeah,
baseball player.
Kipnis.
Yeah, Kipnis was on the team for Ojibwa.
He was definitely listening to this.
Yeah, shout out to Jason. See you soon.
Every time we talk about this game, he messages me. He's like, why you got to talk about that game?
Yeah, well, we won, so... I made a big catch that game. We won the game. I mean, that wasn't why we won the game, but, you know, just personally that sticks out. And we went back and just like the 10 of us laked it. And then we walked into the mess hall and the whole camp gave us a standing ovation. I mean, that was like a personal cool moment. But yeah, then just over the years, just tons of moments, you know, the Olympics, Froddle Olympics.
Those are great.
You know, tons of CIT moments. And it's all just hanging out with friends all the nights out of the years. But that night Josh mentioned, that counselor softball game in 08. August 1st, 2008, 8108, because it wasn't just that softball game.
You guys remember
the date? Yeah, because it's in the cement everywhere. You should know it more than anyone. You walk through that. You own that place.
I've been involved in a lot of games.
He's busy.
Anyways, the whole staff that it was our last year's counselors, most of us, or at least we thought at the time, and then we all had a night out that night, and we all went out, and we stayed up all night having a good time and talking about it, the game we just won, and... reminiscing, and it was very finality moment to it. That was, and it was just like one of those moments that just, it was great. Everybody was having a good time, and international, like the whole staff was there. It wasn't just our group. Like the whole camp felt like they were out that night for some reason.
Do you want to just thank Ben Thompson real quick for saving your life in 2002 to give you the like ability to be at these games?
Yeah, shout out to Ben Thompson for pulling me out of the whitewater rafting trip.
Yeah,
when I fell and got trapped underneath my raft. when we were 15.
Yeah, Steve was like, under it.
And he pulled me out with one arm.
Ben reached down and pulled him out.
So two shout outs to Ben today.
I do also like being a part of the biggest underdog story of all time when Ross and Jason beat Matt and Jared.
Yeah, take that.
In 2-on-2.
I remember watching that game.
There was so much smack talk by them, and we just go out, and then we win, and then we never played again.
Well, that's not true. The biggest underdog story was when Brian and Steve took that game off of Ross and Jason in tennis.
In tennis?
Yeah.
Was that the same day that I threw the tennis racket at Jason?
Yeah, because they were so upset.
That was an awful
So game. For those who don't know, we played a 2-on-2. Ross and Jason, very good at tennis. Brian and Steve, not so good at tennis. We won one game, then me and Brian laked it.
Yeah, and I think that's that one of the matches that Ross chucked a racket at my legs.
Yeah, they were not happy.
I don't think I did that. I definitely did when I was 13.
You did it once.
When I was a camper,
yeah.
And we were playing doubles together, I absolutely did.
What do you think your legacy or your age group's legacy or this group's legacy is at camp? Like, what are some things that you left behind that people will remember about you or about us?
You own camp.
Okay, that's a good legacy. But like,
yeah, I mean, like,
yeah, I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to get
past
that part.
You want to talk one moment? It's you taking me and Brian to in front of camp and telling us that you're buying camp.
Yeah, that was a good moment.
That is the best camp moment of all time. And you owning camp is the legacy. And you sustaining camp now that all our kids, except Ross, will be able to go to camp.
Poor Ross.
That's so unnecessary.
No, he knows it. That's the best part of this whole thing. I mean, Ross's kids are going to live at camp for their whole lives.
I think, but think about some of the stuff. Like, Bulgats, you and Goldman created the 3-on-3 basketball tournament. You got guys naming, talking about you and the bananas. This might just be a Bulgats-specific question because people also, a lot of the Megaphone articles I read talked about your skit nights and stuff. Like, I think you have a lot of legacies that you leave behind again.
Yeah, I would say the skit nights were great because that allowed me space to just be as goofy as I wanted to be. And for some reason, the kids loved it. But yeah, I don't think anyone was chucking produce at children before I came along.
No. Okay. Can you
It's so uninteresting. But
you were online in 2008.
I was online in 2008. No.
It was before that.
Really?
Yeah, it was five or six.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was online, and a doctor who was there that week took notice that kids were taking more of the ice cream cups than they were fruit. And the
Do you
only
remember which doctor it was?
No.
Kanaz? Let's just say it was Kanaz.
So Dr. Kanaz goes, why are the kids eating fruit? I didn't have a good answer, but I did start to sear the kids to the fruit basket. They were only taking bananas. And the line kept getting longer and longer. They were asking for bananas. And then a small thing where, we would celebrate more bananas coming out came into a whole ceremony of me marching around the mess hall throwing bananas at kids. Yeah. Aside from that, yeah, the 3-on-3 tournament, me coming up with year at camp awards. There was no sombrero or sombrero.
True. You created the 16-year sombrero and the 17-year sombrero, and the
most impressively,
19-year Wasserman shawl.
It writes itself.
Yeah. Is the repainting of the Bob Bender scoreboard, is that still there that we did?
Oh,
Diamond
that's
two?
That's just like a thing that we do. That's not really
no,
like
that
a,
wasn't that's a... Konevsky Park now.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Why are you like you know this? Okay, anyone else a legacy that you think you left behind? Josh?
It's tough. You know, I'd have to think back. Obviously, Ross and I, when we were CITs, you know, obviously one of the things that we're proud of is, and of course, as you, as the owner, you built the camp on the six foundations of, you know, what makes a Menominee man. And we had Arrowheads, we had the way that started in 2000, but obviously I think it's pretty cool that 2005, our CIT group, of course, with Jeremy and many others, you know, we really sat down and thought about six qualities and traits that define the way and what we want the Menominee men to be. And here, you know, we are almost 20 years later, and that's still obviously advertised on the website and everything and what you talk about. So, you know, pretty cool that we came up with those six, I would say, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the Menominee Way started with our CIT group, which was cool. But, yeah, I mean, it's expanded so much.
That's actually
true.
Before you guys, we picked our own traits every week.
Yeah, it just rotated. Yeah. Now it's been six for almost 20 years.
That's a huge deal. Like, those
yeah, so obviously I'm pretty cool. You know, I think it's pretty cool, our CIT year.
So you guys are good candidates to explain to the rest of us, what's the difference between heart and determination?
I could tell you that.
Yeah, I'd like them to answer for themselves.
Because we've rewritten it a little bit.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's not the difference in heart and determination. Actually, the two that people get confused the most are heart and spirit.
That's where I thought you were going with that.
Spirit is like... No, you know who spirit is.
Who is spirit as a camper? But like, who to capitulate?
Spirit's not always the loudest voice. Spirit is like coming out of your shell, like what you have inside of you and like showing your truest self. Heart is empathy, and heart is like how you treat other people.
Is Ted Roth spirit or heart?
He's spirit. Ted Roth has a lot of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't get two arrowheads in a week. Are you nuts?
That's fair. Okay. Do you want to do a thing?
No, my phone's charging, so I can't.
Didn't you bring your journals?
Yeah.
You want me to?
It's going to take some time.
All right. We're going to do a new segment called Jason Reads You Megaphone Articles That You Guys Wrote. And then I'm going to say something like thoughts. And then you're going to tell me your thoughts. All right. Brian, if I said the greatest show on dirt, what would that mean to you?
It would mean that I'm co-coaching with Dusty Durney, Durney, Bernstein, Durney. And the score, off the top of my head, have to take a guess, 32-1. I'm Bob Bender, Senior Diamond.
What? It was a 13-under game?
Yep. So you talked about this with Blackman or someone else, I think, but there were always guys on staff who, like, ran 13-unders, and... I remember when we were JCs, that was D. Schwa. My last 2 years on staff, I don't know if I was the guy, but I was always with the 13-unders. And what comes with that is you get to coach a group of kids on 13A who were just insane that year.
There's a theme after I was reading all these Megaphone articles that, like, people write Megaphone articles so that their own name appears, like, to preserve your own legacy at camp. An example perhaps of that would be 13-and-over basketball victory against Timberlane by Brian Bulgatz. On Monday, Menominee played Timberlane in basketball in a game which displayed our dominion on every level. Even though this was an away game and Timberlane's courts were irregularly small, and Zach and Kelly just broke up on Saved by the Bell.
What?
Our men in green were never hesitant to take control of the game.
Listen, that's his journalism, buddy.
Ross, you are named in an article about a game that you coached in a basketball game. They took it by using the genius of Alex McDonald, Ross Felgerber, and Corey Pascal. They imitated the fridge spike carries in the little way. Oh, this was a skit night. You did a skit night where you guys did imitation night and you didn't imitate any counselors or any campers. You imitated the fridge that Spike carries in the Little Giants. Do you remember this?
I actually do. I do remember the skit. I don't remember who did I write that, or was that written
know.
By
There's
Alex?
No credits.
Yeah.
It's a camp skit.
Oh, so you imitated the you guys imitated the fridge Spike carries in the Little Giants, the blind guy in the Sandlot, and the guy that's next to Barry in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
I really only vaguely remember that, and I remember the discussion to do it, but now that it was brought up, but I would have never been able to bring it up on my own. I would not have written that though.
If I told you guys that someone wrote an article called Volleyball, who would have written it?
Zucker.
In this room?
No.
He's not in this room?
He's not in this room.
Kobe.
Kobe. Yeah,
it's Kobe.
Without question.
You were, Ross, you were a junior Twilight League commissioner.
Yeah.
How was that?
Fine.
Great.
That's a great question.
This is the hard-hitting parts of this.
No, I mean, junior Twilight League was always probably the most fun
to run because the kids, compared to intermediate and senior, so, they were always excited to come out there. You get to pitch.
Plus you get to play, yeah.
You get to play.
Hold on 1 second here, real quick. You are looking at the way we are stationed on the couch. You have three junior Twilight League commissioners here on the couch. We've got Cider was in 2006.
Okay.
We've got Ross, or I was in 2007.
Okay.
And then Ross was in 2008.
We've all been commissioners at some point, right?
Junior Twilight League commissioner is one of my favorite things.
There's something
special
about Junior Twilight League. When the kids just play, I mean, they just love it.
So I don't disagree with you, and that's probably a lot of fun. But one of my more mild takes is that I would say that Intermediate Twilight League is way more fun than Senior Twilight League. I think there's way too much parody.
Well, you
talent.
Were a forever Intermediate Twilight League commissioner.
Right.
All right. If I had to say, who wrote this? On Tuesday afternoon, UPS was unavailable and FedEx was out of commission. So it was up to the British and Americans to deliver the message to Garcia. Who wrote
that's
that,
amazing,
guys?
It's well written, Brian.
Yeah, it's pretty good, Brian.
We're talking capital J journalism.
Guys, what happened to Dusty's shirt? A nature story by anonymous campers. Do any of you know what happened to Dusty's shirt?
This was a legit article?
Yeah.
What Slow year is this?
By anonymous?
2008. Yeah, by anonymous.
They didn't want to take credit for this?
Well, it's a sensitive topic.
Whodunit?
Yeah, it's a classic whodunit.
This sounds like Dusty wrote it about himself as like a fluff piece. To like really get his name out there.
This is an article called The ABCs of Softball. And the like tagline for the article is, the Megaphone would like to thank Steven Zucker, Brian Bulgetz, and Ivan Rodriguez for their contributions in writing this article. So congratulations.
What's the question?
There isn't one.
Okay.
Who was the head author? Was that you?
Huh?
Who's the head author?
Oh, I don't know. I only took certain amounts of screenshots. Feel free to jump in with any other segments because this thing is not going.
Brian's got his journal now.
Yeah.
You didn't come prepared with more segments?
We were close to the end.
being the fact that three of us listen to every podcast now, what are things that you guys are jealous of that they do now that we didn't do as campers? Because I have mine
Ross,
real easy.
Great question. It sounds like you got something on your mind.
King of the camp, 100%.
What is that?
They are. Everyone is so. It is something that I wanted to bring when I was on staff that we never formulated. But like, it was that to split up a camp where you have four teams and not just like green and white, British and American, and you have your team that you're with every year, which I think is really cool because we don't do that for green and white either. And they're that pride for your specific team, and you can go on like little dynasty runs, then your team, then you lose some of your people, and then it goes differently. It seems like something that is a really cool thing that the kids love now, and I love listening to the stories of it when they're talking about it during the podcast.
All right, so we're getting towards the end of the day. Here we've been going for a while. I got a few more things I could throw at you, but what do you got some stuff?
Yeah, I just have some before I get to the journal. I just got some thoughts on my mind.
Okay, please.
So this didn't have to be on the podcast, but we're here. So I have a song that I associate with camp, and I don't know why. So I wonder if you guys associate the song with the camp. The Hurricane by Bob Dylan. Am I the only one that associates that as a camp song?
No, I do too.
Why? Okay.
Why?
Why? Because I don't know.
It must have been a wake up song.
Did Kaz sing it one time?
No. That's a good call.
Kaz singing that song is really funny.
It's a long song.
It could have.
Yeah.
I think it must have been a wake up song, but I agree. I can't tell you why, but I do think of that as a camp song too.
Okay. Thank you for validating. I would love to know what everyone's favorite Kaz campfire song is. I'll say One Tin Soldier.
I mean, Cats in the Cradle is great, but I also really like One Tin Soldier, too.
For me, it's Drunken Sailor. 10 times.
Oh, Blow Your Winds? Classic.
Different one, though.
I like Blow Your Winds.
And then The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Well, now that you guys have said all the major favorites, I also liked it when Kaz would sing Titanic, just because Titanic was another classic camp song that I have no idea why it's a camp song or how it's a camp song. But
he would also do it really slow, and we would always like jump the gun.
Yeah,
it was sad.
But that was like part of it, though.
Yeah. Do you guys have one?
Mine was probably Cats in the Cradle. I was just thinking, actually, with everything that's happened last week, I saw him. Did you guys ever see him out of camp at all?
Once. Yes, I did once.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, we did a night out.
Yeah, pretty cool. That was always pretty cool. Glad I got to see that one. So, yeah, he was great.
That's great. Josh, I would love to know your hottest of the fiery Menominee takes.
Yeah, we didn't do hot takes. This is actually a great, like, close out.
Hot takes. That's tough. Yeah. And if anyone's got one, please go first while I think here.
So I always thought it was I'll beat Quagga, not beat Quagga. And then once I learned that, I'll makes way more sense. It holds you accountable to achieve the goal.
But isn't that more of an I statement than a we statement?
Like, I, as a part of the team, I'll will be Quagga.
But what's
I don't need the rest of you.
Oh, I'm saying it is better than
Ugh.
Yeah, like I learned what the truth was, and I wasn't psyched about it.
But what if it was a question? What if it was like, beat Quagga?
Yeah, but that's not what it is, buddy. More hot takes. I don't like that the kids all wear pajama pants during camp. It looks way too casual.
You want it to be more formal?
Well, did we wear pajama pants?
Not
100%.
Yes, some people.
No.
Well, I you mean like flannel pajama pants? Like plaid pajama 100% pants?
Yeah, for softball?
Yeah, people playing
flannels
softball.
Were worn all the time during softball. Okay. You just be walking around camp in general.
Was this brought up as a hot take, Jace? I feel like it might have been, and I apologize if I'm being repetitive, but boy, did I hate hot dog cook-off Sundays.
No, this has not been brought up.
Okay.
Most people really like
people
it,
actually. People actually like it, and I agree with you when we were campers.
Yeah, I just hated it.
And
always felt like a chore. The whole time.
I don't know.
I was bad at building fires.
I was terrible
it wasn't
at
enough
it.
Food.
There wasn't enough
Your
food.
Hot
there
dog
was
would always be
one,
like, dirty.
Yeah,
when I was young, when I was 11, maybe I got sick from it, and I thought it was because of the hot dog wasn't cooked, but in reality, they were all cooked beforehand, right? And then I never liked it. I just would make PB&J. It was, so I never really loved it. But then when you made it to the senior cabin and you were grilling by the, you know, in front of the lake, that was always pretty cool. So
I mean, I don't know if this is really a hot take, but I'm just going to say as a general statement, I thought Sundays kind of sucked at camp.
Yeah, real bummer of a day.
Here's something.
Oh, what do
I
mean?
Don't
Great
charge
bagel unlocks.
Counselors for Dina Mia's.
Wow.
I don't charge you.
All right, here's a hot take. Dina Mia's are overrated.
Very
Whoa,
hot take.
That's no. a take.
Get off the podcast.
I'll put it on the podcast. Steve, it's overrated. I'll just say what everyone's thinking.
Steve Zucker, Steven, like a hot cup of Folgers.
It's overrated. Let's put it out there.
It's.
Can't believe when we talked about Camp Legacies, we didn't bring up Winter Fantasy once.
Well, it's because it's that was just like our legacy.
It's,
still
it's something cool that we did.
Oh, Camp Legacies. Jason, we both wrote Green and White songs.
We did.
Yeah,
that was very cool.
Yours,
you guys did that.
Yours actually has stuck. Mine hasn't really.
It didn't stick last time that the kids tried it out, but
yeah, but they still do. I mean, like they still do it every few years. Mine, they only did once.
Hot takes. I'm tired of the Cabin 11 slander. I think with you, I agree that there should be years when there's no Nate.
I wish we would have moved this segment to earlier.
There should be what?
There should be years when there's no Nate. That we
I
all
didn't
go home.
Say that.
Oh,
I said
Ross
that.
Said that.
Ross, I agree with you that there should be years when the kids all go home and have an off season of self reflection.
What's a year where they should have done that?
No, I think they can all
let's
win.
Let's start.
Especially
start
now,
the pot,
they can all win
2004.
They can all win so many more awards if there's not one guy
you
that
sure
deserves
it wasn't
Nate. Take it out.
Two.
Wait, you didn't want anyone to win that?
Jason took that offseason for self-reflection, and it didn't pay off.
Okay, what else? These are great. I might move this to the front. Yeah, I know how to
rename the Dunleavy courts, and that's it.
Wait, hold on.
Wait, speaking of Dunleavy in a fun moment,
I 100%
playing
agree
basketball
with
Mike Dunleavy on those courts.
You did?
Yeah.
And how'd that go?
He came up, and we played 5-on-5.
Yeah, none of us were there that year.
That's just me.
Just me and you.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that was fun.
I agree with that take.
Stopped and you guys took that summer off. So, yeah. No, that was, I know it's controversial between you guys to name it after when he only went two summers, but
it's not.
It was,
it's
it was,
a very
no, it really shouldn't
take,
be.
Buddy.
It was pretty cool when he came up.
It was, but it shouldn't have been named after him.
Probably, but yeah. But it was cool when he came up.
He should be coming up once at a decade at a minimum.
To just check on his courts?
Just to check up on
him. So
make a quick donation.
Just call them the basketball courts.
Until someone else steps up.
Bar courts.
Got it. To be a professional athlete?
They were for many years before that, just the far courts, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
First of all, they were just the far court.
I'm sure that's we can true. Name it after Rue, and he would slip in a nice Rue pun in the name just to remind us. Just to remind us of what he's all about.
What other hot takes do you have?
That's it.
That's it.
Okay. We're going to finish up. Anyone else have anything they want to do? We're going to end with you telling me your worst competition jersey name. We're going to go around the room, and we're going to end on Steve because this is the best. Yeah.
I've got a story.
Oh, please.
I mean, it's pretty embarrassing, but all right, I'm just going to dive into it. 2000 was my first summer at camp. Followed Ross a year after him. 2000, I came up, wanted to come follow Ross and Jason, and I had just gone through a medical scare at home, so I was kind of, I wasn't myself in 2000. It wasn't a great summer, but came back. 2000, I put Greeny on my jersey. Okay, came back in 2001. I only went 4 weeks. My first summer, 8 weeks, was 2002, so I only went 4 weeks in 2001, and I came back. No one remembers this because it was so long ago, but I was like 30 pounds lighter. Jason and Ross obviously remember this because like, and I literally like thought to myself that like people didn't recognize me. You know, here I was just second year, like I was a completely different kid. You know, I lost all the weight from when I was sick and the G on my jersey fell off. So like it just said Reenie and like people literally like, it was only my second summer. I was 11 turning 12 years old. And like people were calling me Reenie for like a little bit, like during the competition, and I just hated it. So not really... It wasn't on purpose, but the G fell off.
The G fell off.
And people were calling me Reenie for a
little
bit.
That's a great answer.
So yeah, pretty embarrassing story, but you know, wanted to share it on the pod.
Ross, do you legit not remember anything you put on your jersey?
I really do. I feel like the only year that I remember it was like my 10th year. I did like perfect 10.
Yeah,
which was,
I remember that.
Looking back on it, was a little weird. And then most of mine were just, I didn't have a nickname at camp. I just usually put my last name, I think.
Well, first I want to shout out Logan Silver, my nephew. It's going to be his first year at camp coming up.
Future camper.
Future really camper excited Logan. For him. Wanted to shout out Logan, if you're listening. Okay, the jersey. I put the same thing on my jersey every single year. So sides. My regret is that I didn't
sides
do anything.
Six.
Sides every year.
Sides, six.
Yeah.
Every year. I got a Hershey bar for canteen every single time. Every single
every
canteen.
Single time?
Yes, I did. Do I regret it? No, not at all. I don't. So the one,
right,
I mean.
That is the camp version of a psychopath, I think, right?
Mm-hmm. It became kind of like if I didn't get it, I was going to disappoint people. So it was like,
it's a one man inside joke.
Right. Right.
You don't regret getting right. anything.
I mean,
different
so here's the thing. If I had a free canteen.
People, do you mean like your father?
You know, the guys who like really were into the Hershey bar every day.
Okay. Jersey or sorry.
Yeah. So I hid the same thing every year. So maybe the regret probably would have helped to switch it up.
I recall a theme to all of your jerseys.
Towards the end, we were changing the last few letters.
Raging Bull
was on there. No, that was one of my favorites.
Yeah, that was a good
it
one.
Was
invincible.
Like Bowl, so it was invincible.
Well, yeah. Invincible.
Unstoppable.
It didn't say invincible.
Impregnable.
It said I've been cable.
Sometimes words are spelled wrong. Yeah. I'd like to take this time to shout out Gordon Spawage. I don't know how we haven't talked about him. What's up, Gordo?
Yeah.
Who is my favorite Dina Mia cook?
He was great. Nice.
You could trust that guy. In the kitchen.
That's kind of a hot take.
Oh, that's not a hot take. Mild. Everyone likes him.
Everyone Gordo. Recently had a second kid too, as well, right?
That's awesome.
Oh, congratulations on your second kid.
Congrats, Gordo.
Baby. Bulgets or Zucker?
Zucker.
Finish it off. Worst jersey name. Your least favorite.
So many to choose from.
Like.
My first year, I put Fruit Punch on my jersey, and I don't know why.
Did you always have a Fruit Punch mustache? Were you one of those kids?
No.
Yes.
Okay.
I wasn't. That wasn't even why.
Okay.
You not have that I have a right better now. Reason why to like justify just it curious. To make it better. I put that on my jersey, and that's it.
Is that still a thing at camp?
Did you fruit make punch? This a question, Justin?
No, no. One kid in every cabin is like a Fruit Punch kid.
With the mustache.
They're still, like, we don't identify it. But, like,
got
yeah,
it.
They exist.
Kind of like Rag on Taco Night. It's there, but
right.
It's not always addressed.
Exactly.
Got it.
Okay, this is the last chance. and then we're finishing it up. Anyone got anything else?
That's it. Great night. Great getting on here reminiscing.
Jason, should we ask you questions?
Go for it.
Cool. Josh, start it up.
Wow, the pressure. All right.
Did you talk about this before?
No.
Most defining moment
multiple times.
I feel like we know obviously your camping experience and being on staff with you. So like count that as like chapter one or two of your career. But since buying camp in 2015, most defining moment, whether it be, I'll let you say, whether it be something you're just particularly proud of that, you know, that you kind of think of. You asked for our big moments. What was your big moment since 2015?
It's a really good question.
I can say something while you think.
Sure.
During fantasy camp,
I was just going
to
say this.
We all went, a large group of us went from the fire pit up to Jason's house where he was sleeping.
Yes,
of course.
Or in his house and just went up to the house.
That's for sure not my
song and chair just to congratulate him, but it was just a cool moment for our whole generation to
agree 100%. Just
be happy for Jason.
Okay.
Great moment.
The greatest two bits
great
ever.
Moment, Bulgats.
Greatest two bits.
Good call.
There's been a lot of like small moments that I'm really proud of, but the two biggest ones are the way that we rebounded after canceling camp in 2020, mm-hmm. like from the most down we could possibly be to like having camp the next year and like numbers growing. Mm-hmm. And then how all of the camper staff and admin responded, like how we reacted to July 4th this year, like is
great
something
answer.
That I am pretty proud of for us. But yeah, there's a lot of like, yeah, we've been able to build this and improve that. And like the greenhouse is a huge one. Like the fact that was a dream of mine since I first bought camp. But
nice.
Most of it is people related.
Very cool.
Who's your biggest camp grudge?
The thing is, if people actually listen, like I answer these a lot. So we don't need to get
that's fair enough.
Fair.
Are the kids asking for Jeff Toombs to make more curry, or was that a classic one and done?
The kids love the food. Did you guys know? So this is completely unrelated.
Jason, I know your biggest camp grudge. Sorry, I had to throw it out.
We don't need to get into.
I'm just saying,
business.
I remember it, Gus Stewart. Yeah,
I've talked about
the
that.
Goose.
I've talked about that
because
that's
you should have won the Menominee Masters. Yeah, that's a very great grudge. That's
such
very
a
fair.
Fact.
All right, continue on.
So, do you guys know that they call me Jay at camp?
Yeah,
yeah.
Short for Jason. It.
That's what I am. I never had a nickname until that.
I'm still gonna call you Jason.
I appreciate that. All right, we got to close this out.
We're good. Dads and Dad signing off.
Yeah.
It's been real, guys.
I can.
Thanks for having us on, Jason.
Thank you, Jason.
With some words of wisdom.
Yeah, please.
Someone talk while I get this out.
Is he pulling out the trophy?
Nope. So I just have a notebook from summer of 2008 here and just scribbled down some notes. This seems like something that Woody would have said.
Which, by the way, like, Woody has influenced all of you. And
100%.
Not without question.
By any of you on this podcast, so it's good that we're bringing him up in the 1 hour and 40th minute.
Shout out to Woodrow Wilson Wood.
He's just never a co-counselor, and that's what we were talking about was counselor side. He's been on.
If you asked for broader staff members, probably.
Okay. Words of wisdom.
So before we get to words of wisdom, on Town Day, No Island Cafe.
We're back.
They're back?
We got banned from the Island Cafe.
Yeah. In 2008.
Yeah, because like a group went in there and wrecked the bathroom.
Yep.
But where's Island Cafe?
Na-na-na. We're back.
The place people used to always use the phone, right?
Same thing happened with go-karts. There were a couple of years where I guess we were banned from the go-karts, but we're back.
So these are short notes that I took. So this doesn't do justice to what he was saying. So maybe someone can explain after I say this. But what I wrote down was man with the axe versus man with the chainsaw that he doesn't know how to use.
I think this is just you. This seems like something we would argue late at night in the lodge, like after we put the kids
to bed. It seems like the man with the axe is better equipped to use his tool than the man with the chainsaw who doesn't even know how to use it, even though the chainsaw...
That's probably a Woody pre-camp story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he... Yeah. So...
Okay.
Words of wisdom for anyone who is still listening.
Keep going.
See him for... Yeah, Mamadi versus OJ. Just some coach notes. Oh, I thought we were going to end on that good... crisp cup of coffee.
You got a whole notebook there.
Oh, this is good.
Okay.
This is a little reward for anyone who's still listening. But there's a movie night script. And my line is, did you know that the concept of manners was invented by Andy R. Manners from Tacoma, Washington? Then Jason goes, I did not know that. And then I go, that is because it is not true, but boy, oh boy, could you imagine? And Jason goes, no. And I yell, neither could I. Next scene.
This is when we were co-counselors in 08 trying to figure out our movie night. Yes. That's amazing. Okay.
I think that's a great. Good ending.
All right. Well, I don't know who made it this far. It might have to be a two-parter. We'll see what happens after we do the editing. But thanks for coming on, guys.
Thanks for having us. Thanks for listening.
You're such a good host.
For Josh, for Ross, for Danny, for Brian, for Steven, for Buster, who has been here the whole time, and for the love of camp, I'm Jason Fallgraber. Good night, everybody.